Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 114, Frittata. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and you probably already know this, but this is the podcast. It's all about home cooking and getting in the kitchen and having more fun, learning new things, all that good stuff. Today, I have a breakfast-themed podcast for you, or I guess we could say brunch, but it occurred to me here that Mother's Day, as I record this, is coming up in about a week, and I was just chatting with somebody the other day at work, and we were talking about, you know, what do you eat on Mother's Day if you don't go out for brunch or breakfast or something like that, and you want to make something a little bit more special at home. You know, what is it that you turn to? So I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. And by the way, this doesn't have to be for Mother's Day. These are things I've been making lately a lot anyway. And I just thought I would share. So don't feel like this is something that has to be done for Mother's Day. This is a great episode for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or any other time you just want some yummy, eggy goodness. But we'll get to that in a second. I want to mention that if you'd like to get a hold of me, as usual, you can send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Love to hear from everybody, all my listeners. So much fun. In fact, I just got an email today a few minutes ago as I get ready to record this from Monica in Maine. And so, hi, Monica. I appreciate you sending me an email over. She just wanted to say hi and give me some feedback on the episode I did with my friend Chris Degner back in October, the Halloween episode. You probably remember that, where we sat down and we tried, quote unquote, weird food that you can find in the grocery store. And Monica said she really liked that episode, thought it was really funny. And I really appreciate that feedback, because it was kind of a strange episode for me to do, but we obviously had a lot of fun doing it. So Monica, I appreciate the feedback. And you want to know if we're going to do something like that again. We might. I'll have to see if I can talk Chris into it. I think he was a little bit apprehensive after that one. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, send an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Love to hear from all of you, even if it's just to say hi or if you have questions for upcoming shows. Oh, also, I don't think I mentioned this on the last episode. I'm not sure actually if the last episode was recorded before the giveaway was through. But I did do an Amazon giveaway on my last Smorgasbord episode for sheet pan suppers, and Christine K won that. So Christine, congratulations. By the time you hear this, you probably already have the cookbook in your hand. So shoot me a note. I'd love to hear if you're getting anything out of it, if you're enjoying the book. But again, congratulations. If you miss getting in on that giveaway, every month or so, I do kind of a multiple topic episode I call Smorgasbord, and I usually try to do some sort of a cookbook giveaway. So keep your ears peeled for next time, and you can get in on that giveaway. All right, folks, let's get into the topic at hand today. I'm going to be talking about frittatas, and who knows, maybe we'll throw in a few other eggy things while we're at it, or should I say excellent things? Okay, anyway, here we go. So why am I talking about frittatas today? I mentioned a little bit in the introduction there that Mother's Day is on the horizon. And Mother's Day, I think anyway, is a holiday that's often associated with brunch. And brunch is associated with maybe slightly elevated breakfast type foods. At least that's the way I think of brunch. And brunch is something that's fun to go out to the restaurants for, but you know, what do you do at home if you want to pull off something that's a little fancier than bacon and eggs or pancakes, but you don't really want to spend a lot of time or want to get too complicated when you're serving brunch for somebody? So I have been making frittatas. I've been on a bit of a frittata kick lately. And I thought, oh, maybe I should talk about that, because they're really easy to make. They're delicious. And while they're easy to make, they seem kind of fancy and a little bit more elevated than your typical egg dishes. So I want to talk about that. So if you're an egg lover, this episode is going to be right up your alley. Okay, so what is a frittata? And that's spelled F-R-I-T-T-A-T-A, frittata. And by the way, everything I talk about in this episode will be over at the show notes at kitchencounterpodcast.com slash 114. That'll get you to the show notes, links, and I'll throw a recipe up there too for a basic frittata. But a frittata is essentially an omelet. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's essentially an Italian omelet. So when you think of an omelet, you typically think of a French style of omelet. You know, you're taking two or three eggs, you're beating them, you're putting them into a skillet. And as they set up, you know, it kind of forms a round circle. And as it sets up, you put your ingredients in the middle and then you fold it over and then finish cooking it that way. And then when you're done, you have this interesting folded over egg dish with some fillings in the middle. Well, that's basically a French omelet. A frittata is Italian. It's a little bit different because there's not as much manipulation, not as much hands-on time as there is with a French omelet. So with a frittata, you start out essentially the same way in the prep as you would for a French omelet. But when you put your ingredients into your skillet or your frying pan, you don't really do anything to it after that. You just let it cook and you let it set up. And then what you end up with is a nice round, basically a flat omelet where the ingredients are mixed in throughout rather than put in the middle of a folded egg, if that makes sense. Now, what I really, really love about frittatas is they're not complicated and they're really easy to riff on. So they're really easy to take whatever ingredients you feel like putting in there and you can put them in your frittata and it's 99% of the time going to turn out fantastic. It doesn't really require a lot of finesse, if you will. If you can beat eggs, if you can make scrambled eggs, you can make a frittata, no problem. Now, depending on how many people you want to feed, you're going to need a different kind of scale of ingredients. I'm going to talk about a small frittata right now, something that's going to feed a couple of people. If you want to go larger, it's really easy to scale up your ingredients. So I'm going to talk about a small frittata that only takes 4 eggs, and I'm going to use an 8-inch skillet. I have a little nice little nonstick skillet that I love to use for frittata when I'm making a frittata for myself and my wife. And we can split one of these, and it's just perfect. Now, I would say if you want to double this recipe and go with 8 eggs, you'll want to graduate probably up to a 10-inch skillet. And if you want to triple it and go with 12 eggs, you'll probably want to go for a 12-inch skillet. Maybe a 10-inch would work, but probably a 12-inch would work well. And then, of course, the rest of the ingredients, you'll just double or triple depending on, you know, the size of frittata you want to make. But here's a really simple basic frittata recipe. And again, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/114 to get this recipe. But this is for the 4-egg frittata. So simple, you take 4 eggs for starters, 4 whole eggs, and then you're going to want about 1/4 cup of some sort of other liquid. I usually prefer to use milk, but you can use other things like broth or other, basically anything you want, but you want to kind of stick probably with the savory end of the spectrum. I don't think a sweet liquid would do real good in a frittata unless I suppose you were making a sweet frittata. But for me, milk does it every time. And then maybe some salt and pepper, of course, to taste. And then I usually like to throw in a few other spices just to give my frittatas a little bit of interest. I generally make savory frittatas, so I might put in some paprika. I might put in a little, maybe even some chili powder, something like that. And then you want your filling ingredients. So if you just made the frittata at this point, you'd essentially end up with just a big round egg omelet, nothing else in it. But I like to put some savory ingredients in, about 1 cup worth with a 4-egg frittata. So a classic might be bacon and cheese. You can really put any combination of ingredients up to about 1 cup's worth for the 4-egg frittata that you please. The only thing is, because a frittata, when we get to cooking it, is cooked on relatively low heat, relatively slowly, whatever filling ingredients you put into it really need to be pre-cooked. So you don't want to put any raw protein in there. Your meats have to be cooked through. They just won't get a chance to cook otherwise. And generally, your vegetables, I would say, make sure they're either sauteed or steamed or something ahead of time. Really delicate vegetables, like say spinach or something like that would probably be fine, or maybe even mushrooms. But again, and it's not going to have enough time in the frittata to really cook. So whatever filling you put in there, you want to make sure is cooked already. And if you are doing a saute of vegetables, you can saute them in the pan that you're going to be putting the frittata in, and then you don't have to waste two pans. So a cup of filling and then some butter. All right, so a quick recap of the ingredients: 4 eggs, 1/4 cup of milk or other liquid, some salt, pepper, and, you know, a pinch or two of other spices, about 1 cup of filling ingredients, and maybe a tablespoon of butter. You can also use oil, vegetable oil, olive oil if you choose. So you want to take your eggs, your milk, and whatever spices you're putting in your frittata, put those in a bowl. And I like to either beat them with a whisk or with a fork. But the point is, you want the mixture beaten very well. You want it very, you want the eggs very well beaten. I like a whisk. It just cuts down on the time it takes to do that. Once you get the eggs beaten, you're going to add your filling into the egg mixture and mix it in. So just to use my example, if you're using diced bacon and some shredded cheddar cheese, for example, you would go ahead and put those in at this point and mix them into the egg mixture. Now you're going to take your skillet and you put it on your stovetop, heat it to about medium, and then you're going to take your butter and melt it in that skillet. I think I said 1 tablespoon of butter a minute ago. That's probably way too much. So you probably don't need much, maybe 1 teaspoon of butter. Just melt it in your skillet. And when that's melted, go ahead and pour your mixture in, your egg mixture. Now here's where it gets really easy. Don't do anything else. Lower the heat to maybe medium low. And just let your egg mixture set up. It's going to take maybe 7, 8, maybe 10 minutes to do. But you'll see that around the edges, it'll start firming up and pulling away from the edges of your pan. So at that point, you simply remove the pan from the burner, put a lid on it, a nice tight-fitting lid, or cover it somehow, and take it off the heat and let it sit for maybe another 5 to 7 minutes until the top of the frittata sets. So you don't want to see any liquid egg left when you're done with that process. So aside from the prep of the ingredients, it's a relatively hands-off recipe. Now, if you like your eggs and your frittata a little more crisped up on top or a little more brown, you could pop your pan under a broiler for a couple of minutes to kind of finish it off. I typically don't do that just because I like the delicate way that the frittata will turn out if you don't really bombard it with a really high heat. It comes out very soft, delicate, almost creamy, but not creamy in a way of like undercooked eggs. It just turns out like a really, really nice omelet or scrambled egg texture, just kind of really soft and creamy. So don't bombard it with the really high heat if you can help it. Now you can just pop it out of your pan at this point onto a plate and cut it into quarters. You could flop it out so you can have the nice browned bottom up on top displaying that. But you're done at this point. It's really simple, ready to go. Now you might be wondering, as you're listening to this now, this sounds like an awful lot like a quiche. And truth be told, quiches and frittatas are fairly similar. The main difference being with a quiche, there's a crust on the bottom. So a quiche is more like a pie, a savory egg pie, where a frittata is crustless. So it's like a crustless savory egg pie, if you will, or a round omelet. But I'll tell you, between a quiche and a frittata is a lot easier to make, of course, because you're not dealing with a crust. And like I said at the beginning, this is a great breakfast dish. It's a great brunch dish. It's actually a pretty darn good dinner dish, and it really takes leftovers well. So whatever bits and pieces of leftovers you have in the fridge, those can very easily be turned into your frittata filling. There's been several times over the past couple of months that we were busy and we didn't know what to do for dinner, so I just grabbed some eggs, some milk, and a couple things out of the fridge to toss in there, and you're about 20 minutes away from a great little protein-rich dinner. Now, I mentioned quiche. That's similar to a frittata, except, again, it has a crust. There's a few other dishes, if you're into the egg thing, that are a little more complicated than a frittata, but not as much. If you prefer to have a little more density or chew to your brunch dish, but you don't want to mess with making a crust, then I might recommend looking into making a strata. So a strata is essentially it's a type of a casserole, but instead of just say egg, milk, and whatever other filling ingredients as the main components, it also includes bread. It's almost like a bread pudding, if you will, a savory bread pudding. It does require some prep ahead time, because typically you're going to make the mixture, pour it over your bread in your casserole dish, and let it sit probably overnight or at least several hours before you actually bake it. But that's a great variation on kind of that breakfast eggy brunch dish as well. Also another one that takes to riffing and random ingredients and leftover ingredients and things like that very well. But for my money, if you want a slightly elevated egg dish and you're kind of tired of omelets, frittata is absolutely a fantastic way to go. So if you make frittatas, let me know. I want to know what your go-to ingredients are, because I'm a typical meat, cheese, and, you know, maybe veggie, simple veggie kind of guy. But if you've got something else that is just absolutely fantastic for your frittatas, let me know. Okay, well, you know what? That's going to probably do it for another episode today. My son is off getting his hair cut, so I took advantage of jumping on the microphone and recording an episode. So I've got to wrap it up before he gets back, or nothing will get done. Anyway, thank you again so much for listening to the podcast. If you're bored and you just have no idea what to do with yourself and you need to kill about 5 minutes, hey, if you want to head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review for the show, that'd be cool. You know, no pressure. Or maybe send a text over to your mom or your brother or your best buddy and tell them, hey, this is a great show. You should go check it out. And be sure you show them how to find podcasts, because not everybody knows where to find them. All right, everybody. This is Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Again, thanks for listening. And until next time, happy cooking.